One woe doth tread upon another's heel, so fast they follow. Your sister's drowned, Laertes. There is a willow grows askant the brook that shows his hoary leaves in the glassy stream. Therewith, fantastic garlands did she make of crow flowers, nettles, daisies, and long purples that liberal shepherds give a grosser name, but our cold maids do. Dead men's fingers call them. There, on the pedant, bows her crownet weeds, clambering to hang an envious silver broke, when down the weedy trophies and herself fell in the weeping brook, her clothes spread wide, and mermaid-like, while they bore her up, which time she chanted snatches of old tunes, as one incapable of her own distress, or like a creature native and endued unto that element. But long it could not be till that her garments heavy with their drink pulled the poor wretch from her melodious lay to muddy death. Drowned. Drowned. The bad news just keeps on coming, one disaster after another. Your sister's drowned, Laertes. There's a willow that leans over the brook, dangling its white leaves over the glassy water. Ophelia made wreaths out of those leaves. She made cornflowers, thistles, daisies, and these things called orchises that vulgar shepherds have an obscene name for, but pure-minded girls, like Ophelia, call them dead men's fingers. She climbed onto the tree to hang the wreath of weeds on the hanging branches, and she and her flowers fell into the brook. Her clothes spread out wide in the water and buoyed her up for a while. She sang bits of old hymns, acting like someone who doesn't know the danger that she's in, or like someone completely accustomed to danger, but it was only a matter of time before her clothes, heavy with the water they absorbed, pulled the poor thing out of her song, down into the mud at the bottom of the brook. Drowned. Drowned.
And that was Ophi Cal doing a little monologue from Hamlet. And through the powers that be, I am going to go first this time. Alright. Well, okay, to start off with, I thought I didn't exactly like the way it started. I don't know, it just seemed a little forced to me. As it got into it, though, I kind of got more into it. It felt a bit more real as it got into it. But the strange thing was, I wasn't able to tell where the Shakespeare started and where the modern version started. And it took me a kind of a moment of
listening. Wait, really?
Yeah, because her speaking, the way she spoke was just like the same kind of like uniform throughout. Just like her, I thought her, just her tone, I thought, like, and I don't know if there was like a pause. It just seemed like Shakespeare, 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 modern, 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 without like a pause in there to me. I actually found it kind of boring, to be perfectly honest. I just wasn't paying attention after a little while. And it was very, very soft. I'm familiar with Hamlet, but I don't remember this monologue, but, I think it was just the way it was like, so like quiet and seemed very uniform to me. That's my critique. And moving on to the next person, but you two can fight it out if you like.
I have kind of like almost a direct response to your critique, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
If that's okay with you, Bully Man.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Well, I kind of, I agree that the emotions were the same when you went from one monologue to another, but I kind of liked that in a sense, because I feel like it really shows how, like, you don't have to. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. Okay, so it's like the original Shakespeare, the emotions that come with it transcend time, and they can be like brought into modern, modern acting and modern speech. And I really liked that. I liked the fact that you did that. I felt like you also took a lot of liberties with your modern, which obviously, like we've said, not the other three apart from you and Russ didn't really take as many as you did. And I really liked that. I also felt that your emotion on your modern and your original one was really, really good. It drew me in a lot. Especially on the modern one. I think I did prefer your modern to your Shakespeare, but yeah, I really liked the emotion. It really drew me in. In fact, it got me a bit, which it's kind of shocked me when you said that you found it boring, Cassie, because I actually really didn't, so I really disagree with you there. I do agree that perhaps whilst you did take a few liberties on your modern, I felt like when you came in, you started with a language and a phrasing and the kind of mood of the original monologue, which I don't know if you did them all in one take, because that could kind of happen, if you do one straight after the other, then you get into the swing of the modern as it progresses. But so I do agree that the whilst I liked the continuation of the emotion, I felt like the language could have been a bit less similar in the beginning of your modern. But overall, I did really like this from you, so.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Small bit of clarification, just because to partially redeem myself. It wasn't that I didn't like that it all seemed to flow together. It was just that I didn't notice the change. I mean, yeah. I mean, I like that it all that you kept the original emotion, and there. So yeah, just to clarify on that. Okay. Now Blue Man.
Yeah, so I'm gonna hopefully reconcile both of your differences, hopefully in my thing. First off, British accents are cheating. No, I'm just kidding. And
She's
British accents
British.
are. Really? I
Yes.
thought it was a kid. I assume nothing anymore with acting. I assume nothing.
She's
I just
legit
I don't
British.
like I will go. It's a character voice. I will not assume anything is natural. Hugh Laurie has proved that. I thought he was not British. He is British. Anyway, yeah, but I like the accent. Yeah, the first time I listened, I did not hear the transition. I thought, oh, it's just me being derp. I wasn't paying attention completely. The second time, yeah, you need a longer pause between the two, so there's enough difference between this is where the original stops, this is where the modern begins. I thought the original was a bit better than the modern. However, there was this lack of emotion kind of on the scene, and I understand that there's supposed to be sorrow because Ophelia has, quote unquote, drowned. If you've Or if Hamlet, you know what I'm talking about, when I put it in quotes. I just feel like you could have put either more sorrow into it or just gone completely like, she drowned. She fell down, down, just gone completely emotionless in the scene. But yeah, so I just think the emotion needed either more or just drastically less. But other than that, yeah. So there's just little bits and pieces that need fixing.
Yes, and once again, you could. Yeah, differing opinions, craziness. Yes.
Lumen 39, moderator.
Yay. And with that, awesome way to segue into Janie Girly 07. Yay.
What angel wakes me from my flowery bed? I pray thee, gentle mortal, sing again. Mine ear is much enamoured of thy note. So is mine eye enthralled to thy shape. And thy fair virtues, force perforce, doth move me, on the first view, to say, to swear, I love thee. Thou art as wise as thou art beautiful. Out of this wood do not desire to go. Thou shalt remain here, whether thou wilt or no. I am a spirit of no common rate.
The summer doth tend upon my state, and I do love thee. Therefore, go with me. I'll give thee fairies to attend on thee, and they shall fetch thee jewels from the deep, and sing while thou on pressed flowers dost sleep. And I will purge thy mortal grossness so, that thou shalt like an airy spirit go. Peace blossom, cobweb, moth, and mustard seed? Be kind and courteous to this gentleman. Hop in his walks and gambol in his eyes. Feed him with apricocks and dewberries, with purple grapes, green figs, and mulberries. The honey bags steal from the humble bees, and for the night tapers crop their waxen thighs, and light them at the fiery glowworm's eyes, to have my love to bed and to arise, and to pluck the wings from painted butterflies, to fan the moonbeams from his sleeping eyes. Not him else, and do him courtesies. Oh, who is this angel that woke me up? Oh, please sing for me again, kind human. I love to hear your sweet voice and to look at your wonderful figure. I know we have not met before, but I must swear to you that I love you. You are as smart as you are as beautiful. Don't leave. You are going to stay here whether you like it or not. I am not ordinary, for I do rule everything you see here. I love you, so please come with me. I'll give you servants to do whatever you say, and they shall give you the most precious jewels, and sing to you sweet lullabies on the softest beds as you sleep. And if you stay with me, you shall be immortal like us, and you will never die. Peace blossom, cobweb, moth, mustard seed, come here. Be kind and welcoming to this gentleman. Do whatever he asks. If he asks you to jump, you ask how high. Feed him the sweetest berries and the ripest of fruits. Steal the best honey from the bees, and make candles from their wax. Light them. Such my love will have light when he sleeps and when he wakes. Also, take the wings from the prettiest butterflies to fan the moonlight from his sleeping face. Bow to him, and treat him like a king.
And that was Janie Girly 07 doing a monologue from A Midsummer Night's Dream. It seems tonight Much Ado About Nothing and A Midsummer Night's Dream are the big popular ones now. Okay, and I believe, if we're going in order again, Kyle, you would... I keep calling you Kyle. It's like I see your name and it's there.
Yes, Cassandra. What's up?
Yes. How dare you call me by my real name? Oh, no.
Hey, we're trying to get noticed.
Okay.
New science.
All right. Blue Man 39. Go.
So, Janie Girly 07. I thought the original and the modern were both really good. I thought the only issue that you really had was I think you should have slowly risen up with the emotion over the course of the monologue. I mean, your character just woke up, and unless you take an injection of Starbucks first thing in the morning, which, fair, most people do. I'm from Seattle. People do that. It's a custom. No, it's not a custom. I'm just kidding. You're not going to be immediately that alert and that emotional and that chipper. But other than that, I thought that was good. It was great. Whoever's next. yes, whoever, everyone, you girls are on the bomb. It's whoever's next, whatever.
Okay.
Who is next, Cassie?
Let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a judgy by the toe. I will go next. Let's see, in this, I actually liked your modern version much more than your Shakespearean version, Janie Girly. I thought it started like Ophie Cowles. I thought it started off a little weak, but then the more you got into it, I thought it got better. And I don't know if you if you don't already, feel free to do multiple takes. And actually, it sounded like that you got, I don't know if you did it one after the other or if you did it separately, but it sounded like you got into it starting with a Shakespeare, and then you were into it already, and then you did the modern. And I wish you had like the same kind of inness that you had in the modern and throughout the Shakespearean one. Let's see. What else? Again, I didn't write. I'm looking around like I'm looking for notes that I did not write down once again. Yes, and I think. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say right now. I might think of something later, but you know, that's how it is. All right. Because I swear there was something else I was thinking about, and then it slipped my mind, which is terrible, I know. And now I'm ranting and rambling. So I'll let Garnet go, so I'll make me shut up.
Okay, Janie Gurley, all seven. Whilst I thought that these were kind of... They're okay overall. There was almost like a continuing level of like okay emotion, and then I find that through both your modern and your Shakespeare, there was like these little moments where you did like a really intense emotion on maybe like one phrase, like "and dewberries" was one of them, and "light them" in your modern was one of them, and there were like little ones like dotted through, which were kind of a bit weird for me. As for other issues that I had with it, I'll go into what I liked in a second. You had a few diction issues in there. You tripped over some of your S's a little bit on the sibilance. Your S sounds ran together a little. And also, I found that in your Shakespeare, that there was, going back to this kind of... little moments of like extreme emotion. There was like this super seductive bits in there randomly, which was as almost as if like I don't know. It was strange. But apart from that, I preferred your modern to your Shakespeare. Aside from the issues, I felt that your emotion in the modern was a lot stronger, like Cassie said. Which kind of made the strange, really hyper-emotive bits in your first one all the, like, more extreme, if that makes sense. And in the modern one, it wasn't quite as pronounced. I liked the fact that you also took a few liberties. I liked the fact that you put in, if he asks you to jump, you say, "Oh, hi." I thought that was a nice way to interpret the phrase, what was being said in the Shakespeare. So overall, I kind of... There was good and bad in this, and I don't know quite which way I'm on the fence. I need to be swayed, I think. But yeah, kind of good and bad.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, yes.
This is the first time we've agreed all night.
I know, it's awesome. You brought us together, Janie Gurley. You brought us together. Let us all sing Kumbaya.
Not literally.
Not saying the words because I don't think it's public domain yet. Don't want to get sued for copyright infringement.
Oh yeah. Like the people here are worried about copyright infringement.
Who's worried about copyright infringement on this show? Yes. People are worried about Shakespeare.
Yes.
Really?
Oh no, I don't know. It's like
she's like, oh okay. No, oh, you mean like hypothetical?
Shakespeare's not copyright infringement. He's been dead for over 400 years.
So he's come back from the grave.
His stuff is all public domain.
No, I did. Yeah, I was like, oh, Shakespeare, what?
I think he was saying that Kumbaya is copyright.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. My bad. Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying like just on VH in general. I don't think people, you know, give.
Yeah, people don't really care. I don't really care. Yeah. I'm saying.
It's with the amount of songs covered and whatnot. But just in case, disclaimer: we do not claim ownership to anything that is owned by anyone else.
Yes, because that always works on YouTube.
Yes. Well, we are special. Okay, so now we're going on to our last contestant of the evening, or. Yep, and that is going to be Jonathan von Mehring.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Be not her maid, since she is envious. Two of the fairest stars in all the heaven, having some business, do entreat her eyes to twinkle in their spheres till they return. What if her eyes were there, they in her head? The brightness of her cheek would shame those stars as daylight doth a lamp. Her eyes in heaven would through the airy region stream so bright that birds would sing and think it were not night. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I were a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek. No, you don't get it. You weren't there. Nobody knew what I was doing. Nobody was awake. I crept upstairs and missed out the creaking steps. I never sleep in my bed. I sleep in the attic-ish room that isn't the attic, where the only light is from the hallway and the window, so you always feel like you're squinting. We don't really have a name for it. It's where I keep my beautiful cherry-burst Les Paul, leaning against the greenish-brown armchair that we'd once planned to move into the living room, but given up on because it was too heavy to budge. And there's the big window that slants right above your head with the roof instead of being straight up and down. You can't really look out. You get somewhere between outward and upward-ish. All you see is a few branches from my treehouse tree, and then the window of a small room on the third floor of the next house over. I found the light switch, and I flicked it on and off. And I waited. Then Mel's room lit up for a second, like a firefly-ish. It was pretty, like Mel. I suddenly wanted to light my room again, like a firefly dance-ish. But every night, for as long as I could remember, I'd never flicked my light on again, because you always said she probably wouldn't respond. I just wanted to teleport into her room and tell her how I felt, but I couldn't. Instead, I somehow managed to push the old armchair up against the wall, and I opened the window as far as it went, and I grabbed my Les Paul, and I pulled myself all the way up out onto the roof and got up on my feet. And the big outside air hit me. It was freezing-ish. Maybe she saw me then, when I was just standing there, balancing-ish on the incline with my guitar. I strummed a single open E chord. I sat down cross-legged on the tiles, and then I waited. Two, three, four, five, six. Feeling stupid, I climbed back inside, from the half-dark into the darkish. I considered banging my head against the wall, but chose instead to nudge it gently with my forehead. The plastic casing around the light switch was cold-ish, but comforting. Firefly dance. I haven't told anyone except for you, but that's how I'd always thought of it. I'd never told her. That was how I'd always thought of it.
That was Jonathan von Mehring doing a piece from Romeo and Juliet. And Garnet, take it away.
Okay, I'm gonna do one half and then the other. Okay, you're Shakespeare. Last time I heard you, I was really impressed with your emotion on your Shakespeare, but I felt that it was really flat in this. I mean, your diction was fine and your phrasing was okay, but so like, aesthetically, technically, like, it was okay, but from like a subjective, emotive, emotional standpoint, I felt like it was really weak emotionally from you this week. So that wasn't the best start, and I was kind of like expecting something very different than what I got in York Modern. Because okay, so Cassie, we didn't get your email. We just got your file, and I think that Cassie just like forgot to tell us the direction that you were going to go, which is perfectly like fine. This is nothing on Cassie. It's just so easy to forget to do that. But I'm almost glad that she didn't, because it really like let me see the second monologue with like a completely like new perspective, completely clean. And I know in your email you said you wanted to, you took a very different approach to it, and I applaud your creativity and the ballsiness that you had, sorry, in terms of that, just going for it kind of thing. But if you hadn't said in the email, I actually thought that you'd combined work from a different project by accident. I didn't really see upon like a first listen how it related at all to the scene in Shakespeare, because there wasn't really any, there was the presence of the girl, like obviously you were trying to like get this girl to see you, but there was barely a mention of her. And in the original monologue, it's basically all her. It's all about, you know, talking about how, like, you know, arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief. Like, it's all about Juliet. And then there wasn't really anything in the second one. And you were talking about your Liz Paul, and it was so confusing. I literally had no idea what was happening. And it was performed well, like, emotionally. It was much stronger than your Shakespeare, so I applaud you for that. I just really don't understand how this relates to the monologue itself. I understand how you were putting kind of the context of Romeo and Juliet into a modern context with the two households and whatever, but that just relates to the play. It's not like the actual monologue modernized, which was the task, I believe. So it was kind of confusing. And whilst I do think I liked your effects, and I do think that the second one was performed emotionally strongly and well, I don't understand the connection. And I was like very confused until I saw the email, and then I was like, oh, that's what he's doing. And if I'd not seen that email, I would have had no idea what was going on. So I'm just a bit confused. I don't really know how to cope with that, but yeah. Sorry for the long critique. I was like going off on one there.
Yeah, that's all right. No, I'm wondering if we should read his email aloud so that other people know what we're talking about.
Well
I'll do it.
okay
so seriously, okay, yeah. Okay, so here's what he said. So I wanted to do something youthful and passionate, so I decided to go with Romeo and Juliet, Act 2, Scene 2. I recorded the original... blah, 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 sorry. Okay. I wanted the new monologue to have sort of an alternate ending feel, to show what could have happened if Romeo were equally passionate but not quite as brave. I also did the image of two households and decided I wanted two houses next to each other. And from this, awesome use, that word is not used enough, came climbing up on his mini-roof. Parentheses, mini roof, greater than balcony anyway. Close parentheses, period. The gouging in the translated version is, obviously, supposed to be only barely heard. Just don't want you to think I have some really strange mixing technique. The ish that the speaker of the translation is also intentional. I usually prefer to let the work speak for itself, but it isn't really a particularly endearing vocal tick. So I thought I'd forewarn you that it is, in fact, an acting choice, not me just being remarkably annoying. Hope you enjoy, Jonathan. As a postscript, I just decided to record in some sound effects with my Foley. I think they really add something. Yes, so I guess
okay,
I'll translate.
So, sorry.
Should I transition to my critique then?
Sure, go right ahead.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I was just going to respond to the email, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, wait, let us let...
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
But that's okay. Thank you for reading that out, Blue Man, very clearly as well. So from that email, you're saying you wanted to let the work speak for itself. Which it kind of didn't, because I didn't really know what was going on. But also, you were saying about how you chose passionate Shakespeare monologue, but I didn't really feel any of the passion from it either. So whilst I liked the emotions, whilst I liked the emotions and the acting on your second part, I didn't really feel how it related to the monologue. Rather, like, it didn't feel like you performed the task itself, like you did something slightly different to the task. And as for your Shakespeare, I felt like whilst it was strong in, you know, kind of classical areas, the main point part of it, the emotion, wasn't really there for me. There.
Yes, now you may go with your critique.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, so pretty much Garnet pretty much covered all the things I was going to talk about, which, yeah. So I guess this monologue is the Shakespearean classic. The Shakespearean classic, which was a very nice choice. I like your deep voice. Very sensual, my friend. Keep up the good work in the future. Yeah. I did think that there was a lack of emotion in it, but it's really hard to hate on that when your voice sounds like audible chocolate. So, the modern was like, what the hell is going on with you? Like, seriously. Especially because I didn't get the email. And even with the email, it's like, it's still a little bit weird because you're translating it, but then you're also making it very original, which is really, like, dangerous, which it was in this case because we're like, what the heck are you doing? Like, Shakespeare sure as heck did not mention Les Paul guitars and didn't have jet sounds.
Well,
kind of.
I appreciate that was like that was okay. Like, that wasn't really my problem. It was more just like there wasn't really any mention of this, the girl, and the actual monologue itself. I was just because if you're making it modern, fair enough, chucking a Les Paul, you know what I mean? But
but regardless of the nonsensicalness of the interpretation, I mean, the emotion was amazing. I mean, I mean, I liked the sound effects. I mean, I thought it was weird, but it was really good. And I just thought the original was okay. The modern was amazing, but I was so confused with it though. I mean, if it made more sense, I was just so weirded out by it. So. But it was amazing.
And now it is my turn. All right, I will start off with the Shakespearean one. I have to agree with what's been said, basically. I find it kind of interesting that, Jonathan, that, you know, you're 16 years old, and I thought maybe, I mean, not that you, it has to be age specific, but you sound much better doing much older characters than you do a character closer to your age. So, yeah, I just thought it was, you know, I was just like, huh, you know. But yeah, it didn't really work for me. Your modern one, Garnet couldn't have said what I think all of us wanted to say better. It was. I mean, the emotion was good, the acting was good, but it just seemed so out of place and didn't seem to go with the original at all. I do like that you took some serious, serious, serious liberties with it. Actually, one of my notes in the email I sent them was to think of it as if there was, it had been done as a modern, you could think of it as a modern retelling, and that the speech was taken from that modern retelling, but in, like Garnet said, it just didn't seem to go with the original monologue at all. I mean, by itself, separately, it was good, but the two just didn't, like, match up, and it was weird. Now, for the sound effects, I actually did not say one way or another if people could use sound effects, and I wish you had asked. I did allow it, though, because I did. next time, please, please, please ask, because that wasn't, like, something. I mean, people normally don't do sound effects. And I don't know if I liked, you said in your email that you thought that the sound effects added something more. I'm not sure if they did. Some of it seemed kind of strange, but then again, I was also kind of wrapped up in the fact that the monologue itself seemed strange. And yeah, so that's what I have to say on the subjects. Overall, like I said, with your Shakespeare and good with the modern, even if it was odd. And love the sound of your voice. I gotta say, like, originally when I was listening to the Shakespeare, I was like, I love the way your voice sounds. And so that's always a plus, is that you have, like Blueman said, a chocolate, it's audible chocolate.
It's audible chocolate, baby. Delicious.
Yes. Blueman wants your voice to melt in his mouth.
That was kind of inappropriate. I would prefer that you not say things like that in the future.
This show just got dirty.
Oh boy.
this show is now rated PG-13. Okay. But anyway, with that, that is our last person. Yay. Well, you know. And now what we are going to do is we are going to go away-ishness, and we're going to do rankings, and there will be an elimination tonight. There wasn't the last two.
Oh boy.
So,
Oh boy.
Yes, you should get excited for eliminations, yeah, because everyone's always so like you know, stressed out and like, oh no, am I gonna be eliminated? But no, we should be like, well, I don't want people to be happy to be eliminated, but you know. yes. But anyway, so let us do that, and then I will explain what's going to happen in the next round, and yada yada yada, goodness, blah blah blah. And we are back with the results!
Wrong show.
But it's still awesome. Yay, because everybody loves Final Fantasy. Okay, so we did rank.
Well, let me play that. Communists don't like Final Fantasy. Communists don't like anything.
That's why they're communists.
Exactly.
It was all because of Final Fantasy.
Yes.
If you don't like Final Fantasy, you're a communist.
I used to like Final Fantasy. Then I took an arrow to the knee. I've been trying to fit that in all show long. I've been trying to fit an arrow to the knee reference all show long. I finally got one.
Yay! Good for you! Awesome. All right. Okay. All right. Now, before we do the rankings, let me just say, there was clam chowder in my microwave earlier.
Oh boy.
Yes, I meant to say that earlier. Because I just did. Because it's the most awesome part of the show, finding out. That will be like a
New England style?
Yep.
Yeah,
That'll be a staple of the show now. What's in Cassie's microwave today? Okay.
Joey's secret microwave item is bean burrito.
Yes, okay. Now, I'm sure you're all sick of hearing us rambling. Or me, I should say. So let's go rankings. Okay, the winner of the this round is Russ!
Yay!
Yay, Russ got number one! Okay, awesome job.
Number one!
It's me! Mario, number one. So, Russ, you will be getting a pre-show critique if you should so desire for the next round, which I will explain in due course, but first we have to finish the rankings. Next up is Green Girl.
Yay,
yay for Green Girl.
Yay!
Awesome job. All right, after her is Ophie Cal.
Yay!
After her is Temporary Butterfly. Woohoo! Congrats. Okay, and now we are down to our last two people.
Oh boy.
Yes, and like I said just a little bit ago, there will be an elimination. And, alright. So, I'm going to actually say the person who's being eliminated now, since, you know, I can.
That time of the show.
Yes, it's that time of the show. Oh, well, before I was thought about saying the person before them, and then, you know, saying the eliminated person, but then I'm just going to say it. The person that was on the bottom of the rankings this week was Jonathan Von Mehring. Aww. Yep. So I'm so sorry, Jonathan. I'm so sorry you had to go. And of course that means that Janie Gurley is the second or the is staying with us. And she also gets to get, as the person at the bottom or next to the bottom, also gets to get a pre-show critique. And so.
Oh, that's an awesome prize. The winner gets something and the person who's safe gets something. That's kind of a cool idea.
Yep. I'm awesome, ain't I? And now I'm sure you guys want to know what you're going to have to do, even though I'm going to email you about it. But you might just want to listen to it anyway and not read. So what am I doing? Okay, now, the theme for this week is Once More with This Feeling Week. You people, contestants, will be given a monologue and will be told to perform it in two ways. One being the way it's meant to be played and the other being, different. To see how you can handle direction, basically. So basically...
Doing it very proper and then doing it very silly.
Well, possibly.
Possibly. I'm hypothetical. I'm not gonna be here next week.
it could be serious, one way it could be silly. One way it could be you're doing it sad and then you're doing it very triumphantly. So it's just about like doing something with seeing how you do it with a different emotional direction, basically. So yes, and that's it. Once again, congratulations to our winner, Russ. And once again, we are very, very sorry that to have to eliminate anyone. Because I was like, I knew this day would come, but it had to happen. And we loved having you, Jonathan. And you know, continue because you do you do awesome with the Shakespeare. Even though today was. Not your most awesomeness, but I always loved
it. I think that what really cruxed it for me personally was that, like, if the Shakespeare had been really strong, as well, like, emotionally, like the monologue was, then I would have forgiven the fact that it felt really disjointed, but it just felt the Shakespeare emotionally was quite weak, and then the monologue was, the modern was quite confusing.
Yes. So... And with that, this ends our show. And thank you very much, both of you, Blue Man and Garnet, for judging with me today.
Thank
you. You're welcome.
And so sayonara.
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 Bye bye.
Brush up your Shakespeare and we'll all